Welcome. Very happy to see you here. Thank you. We probably are in the most unusual Christmas of all time up to this moment. And it occurs that there's a possible relationship between that which we experience this moment today and that which has happened in the spiritual kingdom. For example, 10 years ago, there was no such thing as a heart transplant. And 10 years ago, you may not know it, but Joel Goldsmith had a heart problem. He had to prove that his life didn't depend upon his heart. And in proving it, spiritually, his heart, which was actually a dead one, appeared alive. And this spiritual healing of the heart may well be something in the invisible which triggered the visible transplanting of hearts in our world. That particular connection occurred to me, and it becomes very clear that the man who 2,000 years ago discovered that there is no time and no space unquestionably triggered that which we see in outer space today as the conquering of space. And so these are most unusual times, and just as miracles are happening visibly in a way that would have been unthought of even so much as 20 or 30 years ago, so we also are reminded of a statement that Solomon made in Ecclesiastes. He said, there's nothing new under the sun. And I wonder if you could include even going to the moon as not being new under the sun. In other words, Solomon was telling us that behind the visible, changing in time, is an invisible, unchanging, ever-perfect, and ever-present, in which the eternal self always lives. Now when we awoke this morning, we awoke just as we were born. There's an ancient saying, every man is born between two angels, one on the right, one on the left, and the angel on the right is the angel of goodness, the angel on the left is the angel of evil. And these are supposed to be man's dual inclinations. He can go either way. He can follow the angel of good or the angel of evil. And each man allegedly is born into this dual purpose, this dual inclination. And that is why when Moses gave his people the commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, he didn't say with your heart, mind, and soul. He said with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, meaning those two inclinations had to be reconciled. Now we awoke with two inclinations this morning, one of which we were unaware, and one which was predominant. And you can more or less judge where you are in consciousness by the degree to which the angel on the left was predominant or the angel on the right. The first thing that happens upon awakening is that there's a feeling about me. me has to do this and me has to do that. And that's the angel on the left. Me has an important appointment. Me has to get dressed. Me has to eat. And that's the same me that's been doing this all of our human lives. That's the inclination mankind follows. Now, you being spiritually inclined, perhaps your inclination was the angel on the right. Perhaps you began your day not with me, but with God. And of course, if that is what you did, you were one of the very few in this entire universe who didn't awaken to me but to God. And your day must of necessity be very different than every other person on the face of this earth. Now, we have likened the mind of man to an inn. And if you awoke in that inn this morning, your mind was filled with many conflicting ideas. In your inn, there were many guests. There were many impulses. There were many concepts. There were many memories of yesterday. There were many hopes and ambitions. And although these were not all voiced, in that inn which we call our mind, this babble of the world exists every moment. And the impulse that comes ever so gentle, which says, "Let me in," that impulse is usually not heard by the angel on the left. And so our inn is very crowded with thoughts of this world. And it takes these 2,000 years to find a vacancy. It takes every minute of these 2,000 years to reach the point where we become aware ever so slightly that the world we live in is but our fractional idea of the world that is real. It takes all of that time and then some, because the me, the angel on the left, the personal sense, the physical, structural me, this is ever crowding out my awareness of the spiritual me. Now, we live in a moment. You have lost all of yesterday. You do not possess tomorrow. You have this instant. And all of life is crowded into this instant. And this still is the angel on the left. This still is the illusion that life is being lived in this instant, and if you didn't have this instant, you wouldn't have life. This is the great illusion that time is moving past. Now, as you pause, as you open a little place in the mind, you are beginning to establish your manger for the entrance of an idea that takes the angel on the left, turns it away, and gently turns you to your true shepherd on the right. And now you find a manger in the mind, a place where you entertain a completely revolutionary idea that this instant is not my life at all. All of my yesterdays are still existent. All of my tomorrows are here at this moment too. We are beginning to sit back and see the fullness of life instead of the instant of life. Now, in our Bible, we have had a misfortune to the extent that even the great scholars, the linguists, who know the meaning of every word in Greek and in Latin and in Aramaic and in Hebrew, unfortunately, they too were born with an angel on the left and an angel on the right. And the angel which they used to translate the Bible was the literal angel, the one who sees things in the flesh, the one who is born into time, the one who is unaware of the house behind this visible, made without hands. And so the translation of the Bible has been a very uninspired translation. It has been given to us not by men of spirit, but by scholars. Men who could recite the Bible, perhaps, word for word, without looking at it, and still not know the meanings of those words, not know the great implications of those words, not knowing that in each word there are many mansions. Now, one of the greatest mistakes, one of the most monumental, was made when a certain word in the Bible was translated in a very limited human way. And that word is A-E-O-N. It occurs throughout the Bible, the eon. And it has a great meaning. It means the fullness of your being. Not in time, but in a higher dimension than time. It means the fullness of your being, not in years, but in the attributes of God. Eon is the total self of you, as created in the divine image and likeness. It has nothing to do with time. And do you know what that word is translated as in the Bibles we read? Eternity. And it has thrown us away from the meaning of to know God aright is life eternal. We have thought that if you scoop up all the time there is, you have eternity. And that's as much its meaning as cat is the meaning of mouse. It has very little to do with the meaning, except in a very minor way. To know God aright is life eternal, but not life that is unending. That is included, but it isn't the whole story at all. There is a difference, not just in quantity, between eternity and time, there is a difference in quality. And that qualitative difference is vital. It's one of the most significant differences there is in all of the Bible teaching. Now, you may have seen this difference expressed in the word fullness, not realizing that fullness and eternity are one and the same. Wholeness and eternity are one and the same. Completeness and eternity are one and the same. And to know God aright is a whole life, a complete life, a full life, not only in time. That is the minor part of it. It is a life without end, yes, but it is a full, complete, whole life this moment, now. Now, eon has been translated many other ways. Wherever you see the word forever and ever, it doesn't mean that at all. That's another translation given to aeon. And sometimes where you see the word world, that's another translation given to aeon. Our scholars have been very elastic. Wherever a word fits their purpose, it takes a new implication to them, and then they fill out their lines, but they have lost the Christ message. Now we must catch the meaning of eternity, because this moment is eternal. The fullness of your being is the meaning of your eternal life, and you can never have less than the fullness of your being, any more than you can have reality changing and becoming less real, any more than you could have God diminishing and becoming less of God. That which is the fullness of your being is the eternal self of you. And that fullness existed 500 years ago, as it does this moment, as it will 500 years from now. That fullness is ever present. And when you learn to live the contemplative life, which is really letting God create through you, you find that that fullness, that eternal self, is brought forth into the present experience. And the purpose of the word aeonic, aeonial, translated into our English structure as eternal, was to bring to you the awareness that behind the three-dimensional world is a fourth-dimensional world. And to bring the fourth into the third is to bring your eternal self into the present expression. Now, it is true that aeon has other significance. It means, for one thing, that there is a limited time age to all things. You may find that human life may have a limited time age. Oh, it may be 5 or 10, 20 or 30 million years or billion years, but it will be embraced within an aeon. And that aeon will be the duration of the time existence of that particular object or category of life. And so we were not going always to be in a human form. We're going to continue to change. But we will always be ourself. Now, those of us who have caught this element of change find that we have avoided the stagnancy of those who have insisted on clinging to their present way, their present ideas, their present consciousness. They live in a world in which they are trying to make permanent that which the Father has no desire to be permanent. They're trying to cling to a form of life which in itself has no reality, being only a fraction of that which is. Now, the contemplative life is that form of life which had come to you the moment you open your eyes and realize that this inn, this mind, this busy hotel must begin to open out a little place in which the fourth dimensional consciousness begins to enter into the third. I may be very busy, but what about God's plan for me today? What about God's plan for me in what I call time and space? And in that manger, we now establish a new consciousness. This is the beginning of the new consciousness on earth, the rebirth, the you, coming from the eternal self outside of the three-dimensional world and filtering into it. to begin to establish in you the fullness of your being. Now this manger, this new idea, is a place that does not look at the world at all, the way your five senses have been looking at it, the way your mind has been looking at it. This manger stands up and looks at your world and says, there is nothing here that I accept. This is a complete and radical departure from every concept that you entertain. This manger, this infant idea, rejects the complete visible world, for it is not my Father's kingdom. It rejects all physical form. It rejects all human creativity. It rejects everything that we as human beings hold dear. For it has seen reality. It has seen the perfect self. It has seen the perfect universe. It has seen that which is veiled to the mind, crowded with its own beliefs and aspirations. It has seen beyond the physical form. And at first it's only an infant. We hardly hear it speak. But establishing that new development in us, that is the birth of the babe. Now that must happen. That is the first Christmas, when within you is established the beginning of an infant consciousness in the manger of your mind, which rejects every idea that is unlike the perfection of God. It rejects all forms of disease on the earth. It rejects every evil known to the mind of man. It rejects the illusion of birth and death and human spans. It rejects the idea of a segment of life that lives in an instant that dies and is reborn in another instant that is coming from the future. It sees through the illusion that we live in events that succeed in time. It sees that within this time-segmented instant, there is a larger universe behind it all, and that the three-dimensional world, which we call mankind, is living in a four-dimensional universe, which is the kingdom of God, and that one is present where the other appears to be. This is the infant consciousness of the Christ. It rejects every bit of logic of your brain. It rejects all reason. It is unreasonable. It is illogical. And yet you see the unreasonable and the illogical happening today. No man has ever gone 200,000 miles outside of this earth. It's illogical. But there it is. What is ascension but going beyond even that? And where do you go? You ascend out of the consciousness which sees time, space, material form, birth, life, death, into the new consciousness which says, behold, I make all things new. Now this new consciousness is already established in most of us. It's kicking, it's squirming. It's the angel on the right, and it's always at war, it seems, with the angel on the left, but it is there. We know that within us is a new way of looking at things, a Christ way, a way that is not bulldozed by the appearances of this world. Now, it's taken 2,000 years for you and I to come to a glimpse of this. And yet in the twinkling of an eye, as we release ourselves from the belief that there is a me that is going to walk through this earth today who can do something, there is a me who needs looking after, there is a me who is separate and apart from that which created him, the moment we relinquish that idea, we are feeding this infant, this new consciousness. We're giving it a chance to grow up. We are building our fourth dimensional consciousness within this manger. Now, when we open our eyes and look out, the same old world is there. And the same men who climbed to the sky and into the moon, who watched that crescent grow to its giant size, those men back on Earth will come back to a three-dimensional consciousness. They'll come back to the same belief that they left on Earth, that there is sickness on the Earth, that we have limited time spans in which we live, and this moment is life. We're not going to make that mistake. We are releasing ourselves to the new consciousness. And this new consciousness rests four square in the realization that I and the Father are coexistent, that the Father is greater than I, and though I appear in a three-dimensional form in a three-dimensional world, the invisible Father is present in me as the living Christ. That must come with impact. That must grow into conviction. So that if you were there, 100,000 miles out in space, you would know that I and the Father are one. There is no place I can go where the Father is not. The manger of my consciousness has now moved up and up and up, and it has taken over the inn. It is the consciousness. It is the house. It is the fullness. And now we have no place in our consciousness where any form of destruction, where any form of changing time, where any form of evil can take root. That was the purpose for developing the infant idea that grew into Christ consciousness. So that now the mind is no longer an inn with many tourists, with people coming and going helter-skelter without rhyme or reason. Now the mind is one with the Father. Now the mind of the Father is the inn. And now you're in the contemplative life, where you're letting the consciousness of God be your consciousness. You are living the Christmas, the Christ birth, as a permanent dispensation. Now Christ liveth your life. The me that awoke quickly reassessed the truth of itself and discovered there was no me. There is only the living Christ. There is only the Spirit of God. And the angel on the left is dissolved as illusion. Now this must be a chore every morning until it becomes a joy. until we awaken, not as me, but we awaken in the kingdom of God, in the consciousness of God, and we rest there in the contemplation of that until each morning anew the Christ is born. This isn't a birth in time and place and space. This is a constant rebirth. Sometimes the rebirth takes place 20 times a day. Ever we are reborning ourselves, we are self-generating for that grand moment when the consciousness of the Christ brings us the experience of eternal life in the present. When you reach through the veil to the eternal experience now, then you have caught the meaning to know God aright is life eternal. Then you have touched the meaning of aeon, the fullness of the divine plan in you functioning now in all its glory. And there's no reason for it to diminish. Now, this is not something for the human mind. That's the inn which rejects the manger. This is for that in you which says, above all things I hold hallowed the name of my Father and his will in me. And this alone enables you in your complete fidelity to the divine to relinquish today to God. There is no today for me. There is no tomorrow for me. The dying daily comes to the point of the birth daily. Each dying is a borning. Each moment of losing me is a birthing of the Christ, which is my eternal self. Now, in every birth, there's a struggle. There's a labor. And this labor is the war between the angel on the left and the angel on the right. The moment of time begins to separate, and you find in the middle of time as a silence, a duration without passing of time. You split time like you split an atom. And as you open time up, standing in the middle of it, there is time no more. You're in the vast, eternal stillness. You begin to feel the magnitude of your existence, the fullness, the pleroma, the realization of eternality now realized. And then every moment of your present life becomes an eternal something stretching out into the fullness of the kingdom now. You are an integrated whole. I am the one self. You embrace all that was and is and will be in the eternal moment. You are you for the first time, instead of a fraction, instead of a passing second. Now, this is your rebirth. This is how it will come to you. And you will feel yourself being drawn out of your body, out of your mind, but present with the Lord. For that rebirth occurs as you banish the angel on the left, the inn that was too crowded, to receive the impulse of the angel on the right, and you make the effort consciously each morning, each day, to remember that within me is a living presence, and my denial of it is a betrayal of the Christ. My denial of it is shutting the Bible and its message, is turning back the pages 2,000 years and standing right there and refusing to witness the great event. This that happened in a physical world must happen in our spiritual existence as a realization. Let's go back 2,000 years. Then let's go back 2,000 more. And then 10,000 more. And see that no matter how far back you go, that exists at this moment as the now. You cannot go back in time to any place that does not exist now. There is no such place in time that is not now existent. In this now, there is no place in time where the Spirit of Jesus is not now existent. For just as there is nothing new under the sun today, there was nothing new under the sun then. The Spirit of God has always been existent, and that Spirit of God is existent now. It has not changed. It has not aged. Nothing has brought it to a different degree of itself than it was at that moment and is at this moment. And the Spirit of God, that is you, existed in these 6, 10, 15,000 years ago as it does now. And you must begin to feel this, because this is the meaning of the eternal self now. The fullness of your being is stretched out invisibly throughout this invisible universe this moment. And in the flash that it all becomes part of your realization, like a complete landscape becoming visible in a lightning flash. So this too becomes suddenly an awareness of you. Maybe you could compare it to a man who is drowning. And in the minute or two between being saved and drowning, he sees his complete life, as it were, going before him, a great kaleidoscope. He didn't realize the detail that was possible to review all of his years, and yet in 2 minutes, he remembers things he didn't know he knew. He sees faces. He actually does more than just remember them. He becomes part of that past. That past becomes part of his present. They become one. He finds they never went anywhere. They existed. His past is his present. In that kaleidoscopic 2 minutes, he sees his life and its complete relationship. Now the Christ of you will see all of your life, not just this human span in 2 minutes. The Christ of you will see your complete eternal selfhood beyond time and space, and it will see it in a moment when you think not. In that eternal instant, you know the meaning of every word that every sage has ever uttered. In that eternal instant, you know why we were told throughout the Bible to fear God, meaning to open a place in consciousness for the birth of the Christ, for that alone in you which could receive from God the fullness of your own being. That word fullness, then, and eternal are synonyms. And when Jesus says to the cripple, "Wilt thou be made whole?" he is saying, would you realize your eternal life now? Now then, we're in our manger. We're in contemplation. We're in the stillness. Contemplation becomes a very creative, inspiring, and uplifting experience. Now we're not in a human mind trying to figure out how to make the day better. We are in something which can bring to us substance, eternal substance. The substance of life itself can flow to us in this contemplation. As I abide in the Father, my inn is not too busy. I am in the manger of truth, abiding, and I am feeding this Christ child. Truth that will nourish it, rear it, bring it up to a higher self, and this rising Christ within me is going to pierce the veil of illusion about my changing life in time and my changing life in space, my life which is needful of things. This rising Christ in me is going to replace the temporary transient in human form who thought that he could do a better job than the Father. And all this is the purpose of our presence on this earth, to find that glorious moment when the mind can relax and know that there is in me the child of God. Not as an idea or an abstraction, but behind this veil of flesh, of time, of space, of moving objects, is my larger self. My unending self. The self that existed before the world was, before a form appeared in time. The self that is eternally immaculate. The self that was symbolized in the virgin birth, this self I begin to recognize as my own being. My own human mind becomes the earth, getting smaller and smaller as I approach the moon, getting larger and larger. And that earth whirling around 19 miles per second looks just like a tiny top, almost as if it could never contain 3 billion people and huge cities. We see that eon comprises all of these objects called planets, stars, oceans, that what we have thought was mighty and big are just small pieces in a great big whole. This wholeness, this freedom of knowing that I am beyond the world of time and space, that I and the Father are the one substance, the one life, the one being, this is the moment of joy in which you are renewed. This is when substance flows through your consciousness. And that substance is the eternal substance, the eternal experience making itself manifest. This is the substance of all things, of all form, of all life. And this substance forms itself as every need throughout your eternal selfhood. Without this substance, we are not the children of God. And we show forth the sufferings of this separation. The sculptor who fashions his various objects from the original substance that he works from, knows very well that his art will be no better than the quality of his materials. He would no longer think of working on a substance that tomorrow would melt, that tomorrow would no longer be, in which his cherished ideas would then be no more. He chooses a substance that will last. And the substance of God is everlasting. When that is the substance from which your life is sprung, that substance is the power of your life. And when you separate yourself from it, it is because you have not established the Christ in the manger, which alone is the living substance of the living Father. That is the substance of God in you. That is the nature of the Christ. And as you become aware of it, you have begun to live the words of the Bible instead of reading them. They have begun to accomplish their purpose in you. They are making you put the Christ higher than your physical self. They are making you aware that as long as you hold the Christ away, you are standing in the way of the will of the Father. Now, I know from my own limited experience some of the difficulties of a lazy human being who thinks he can put it off because his inn is too crowded. And I also know some of the joys of not putting it off and emptying that inn sufficiently to dwell, even if hours are necessary, for the first glimmer of that invisible eternal presence. Yes, it does take hours sometimes. But every moment of those hours is spent in a way far more rewarding than the way those moments could have been spent. For finally, the illumination of that presence does in 2 minutes what it had taken 50 years to try to do. Just as in 2 minutes the drowning man saw his entire 50 years of life, so in less than 2 minutes the Christ brings into conscious awareness the realization of God's presence, which is the eternal presence. And all of infinity, all of eternality, is present in that moment of realization. You remember that great revelation of Joel's: my conscious union with God is my oneness with all spiritual being and all spiritual form and all spiritual life. And you see, that moment of Christhood is your oneness in which the eternal self of your being is realized here and now. In that moment, the angel on the left is dissolved. In that moment, there is only one inclination, and that is the perfect path to selfhood. There is nothing new under the sun, but there is a complete newness in store for each of us as we see through the sun, through the physical, through the world of changing images in time. And whereas you may have thought contemplation was just a resting quietly and waiting and listening, contemplation is the inspired inner obedience to the eternal self of your own being. Suppose you were in a ship in the sky and could not see around you, and your radio was your only communication. You would listen very carefully to that radio. Your complete attention would be to the words that come through that radio from the ground crew to tell you where you are. You would be listening intently. It would be a matter of human life or death. We learn to listen intently that way to the Spirit of the Father. It really is a matter of life or death, because the listening is life. And as we listen intently, we draw into ourselves a substance which manifests as what we call life. And that substance manifests itself in the forms of fullness, to the degree that we have emptied ourselves of the concepts of limitation. Now you're going to have either another Christmas or a spiritual Christmas. A living Christmas, or just a usual synthetic Christmas. And because we are prepared as never before for this Christmas, many of us are ready to make these last few days before the physical Christmas a continued preparation in which we become one with the physical birth of the Christ in Bethlehem in our consciousness. And it becomes to us a very meaningful livingness of our own birth into reality. So those of us who are moving ever toward that birth, that oneness with the infinite, we are those who are receiving from within the impulse of the Father, who is going to lift us into the realization that the true self that I am is an eternal self, without beginning, without end, and I will let that self manifest whatever forms it chooses, appearing on earth with whatever name I am given. But I am living in the consciousness of that eternal me, the I that never was born and never will die. And that I, that Christ, that child, is a child that never grows up, for it is already infinite. It is already eternal. It is already the substance that the world calls God. Every moment that I accept myself as less than that is my prodigality. Every moment that I accept another as less than that is the sentence that I pass upon myself. Now we have the stage for our birth. And perhaps as we rest for a moment in the quiet, letting the Father do the work, perhaps we are finding that we have more room in our inn than we ever realized. We're going to rest a moment, and then we're going to see if we can't go some deeper into the Christ message.